So we're going to go ahead and get started. We've got, so again, I'd like to call the meeting of the December 16th meeting of the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission. The first item we have on our agenda would be the review of the minutes from November the 18th. So they have been sent out in a packet, and I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
So the motion, second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries to approve. So move into the reports. Our first report will be financial reports. Jared.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This will be our report for financials for the month of November. We'll start with bill revenue and consumption. Bill revenue for water for November was $1.7 million and a 25% increase from November of the prior year. With consumption also up about 23%. You'll recall when I was here last month, we had similar numbers that were high year-over-year percent changes, and we included a chart at that time showing you the really all-time high for the month of October consumption, especially relative to the last 10 years. We just saw how it was just markedly higher this October. And because we bill in arrears, some of the billed revenue for November that we're reporting this month is going to include some of that October consumption. So there's really kind of a residual effect here where that high usage is kind of being split across two reporting periods. The other sort of formatting change that I've made to this, at least this particular month's report, is I've kind of broken out as a subset of billed revenue, that billed revenue that's specific to residential, commercial, and industrial accounts. So I'm trying to isolate those and exclude revenues that might be associated with revenue streams that aren't related to consumption, chiefly access and impact fees, but other things like service charges and penalties as well that are unrelated to consumption. So normally you'd expect to see that residential, commercial, industrial billed revenue tie pretty closely to your consumption, right? And we do see those year-over-year percent changes are pretty much identical. And then looking at the sewer department, billed revenue was at $1.8 million for the year. In total, it was a 28% year-over-year change. But just looking at the residential, commercial, industrial accounts, a 9% billed revenue increase, and on the consumption side, up 8% from November of the prior year. For our actuals to budget, November is the fifth month in the fiscal year, so our benchmark for comparison purposes is 42%, and we see that both revenues and expenses in the water fund are tracking above that. Revenues are at 51%, expenses at 44%, and our capital outlays fiscal year to date are at 22% of our budgeted figure. For sewer, you can see we're a little bit closer to that benchmark with revenues at 42%, expenses at 40%. Capital outlays are still lagging at 15%. We did pay our first invoice to Crossland Heavy Contractors for the work they're doing out at the pollution control facility, though. I think it was about $500,000, and Brian tells me they're going to get more expensive from here. So we should see that number keep ticking up as work continues out of the pollution control facility. For year-to-date income, I'll skip down to the other sheet here and show you net income for the month of November for the water department was $661,000. Totals up to about just under $3.5 million of net income on the year. That's compared to our budgeted net income of $4.8 million. And then our cumulative percent change to the prior year, we're up about 9.9% in the water department. And then looking down here at the sewer department, net income of $604,000. And I've broken out, you see this other number down here at the bottom, $371,000. That's on that line there for one-time ARPA grant revenue. So you can see for FY24, we recorded revenue of just under $2.5 million. We got two ARPA grants through the state, and one of those was reimbursed to us in full, or disbursed to us in full in FY24. And we've started to take out the disbursement from the similar award here in FY2025. Again, this is for the work at the pollution control facility. So as we keep incurring invoices, we'll keep drawing down those funds, and that 371 will work its way up to our full award. But I broke that out just so we'd have a little bit of a better apples-to-apples comparison on the monthly figures. In total, our net income year-to-date in sewer is $3.6 million relative to the $8 million that's been budgeted. And excluding that ARPA grant, we're 11% higher than the same time last year. Going back up to our memo, for access and impact fees, we collected $345,600 for the month. For the year then, we're just over $1.3 million, and those year-to-date actuals are 42% of the FY24 total and 61% of the budget that we budgeted this fiscal year. And finally, other financial reporting items, our total unrestricted and restricted funds are at $52.8 million. Compared to $49.8 million this same period last year. And our lost water is holding steady at 8%. That concludes my report.
Thank you. If there's any questions or comments from Jared. The next item is engine reports.
Good afternoon. In November, we reviewed 130 sets of plans and permits. Still seeing a lot of development, redevelopment downtown along that Walnut Street corridor. And a lot of this area is where we saw a lot of tornado damage back in May. So you can kind of see that whole swath. We're seeing a lot of signed permits and things like that, and building reconstructions. Come off of where the damage was done, but overall the development plans are still dominated by commercial plans and also townhomes and apartments and things like that. I think the single family subdivision is probably the exception these days. No particular projects really substantial of note, but there's a list here if you guys ever have questions about any particular project, I'll be happy to try and answer those. Project status, not a whole lot of changes. We haven't started breaking ground yet, but the 2024 miscellaneous water line replacements, all those communities out by the lake, we are under contract and technically under construction with that. We did substantially complete two projects in the last month. The Pinnacle and South Champion sewer improvements are substantially complete. I think there might be a few punch list items here and there. And also cleaning and lining the two sewer mains under I-49 has been complete. And so I think that's one of those projects that kind of kept Johnny up at night. And so we're happy to have those two done. This was kind of the last leg of our sewer construction for South Champions, where we came out of the golf course and connected to an existing sewer down to the south here, so we got that all stabilized. You see a couple of manholes here that really look odd, sticking up way up above the existing grade. That's because the city has plans to widen that road, and so we set the top of the manholes even with where the sidewalk's going to be in the future for their further plans. A couple of photos of construction progress out at the pollution control facility. So this is in the area of the proposed dryer building, and back when the plant was constructed, this is where I believe there was a primary clarifier at this location, And then the old headworks was over here too. And so they're digging up those old existing building foundations and tearing those out in preparation for to lay back the subgrade. Also relocating some existing utilities that are in that building footprint. So they've been out there making lots of progress in the last month. It'll accelerate from there. Just some staffing updates. We budgeted a position for a GIS technician. We've got Brandon Ives, this is our GIS analyst in this department, that's really built this program up. And our GIS is the basis for everything we do with CityWorks now. And so he's got a lot riding on his shoulders. We did budget for this technician position. We offered the position to a young lady after we had an interview a couple of weeks ago. She did accept. She will be starting in February. So we're excited to have her come on board. And we do currently have a vacancy for a construction inspection technician. So we're seeking applicants to backfill that position. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Any questions?
Thanks, Brian.
Sounds good.
Control facility. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for taking the time to be here. As you can see, we're chugging right along on our treatment numbers. This month, we were fairly caught up. We did have a lot more rain this month, so that did impact our treatment a little bit. But overall, plants are operating well. Let's see. Amber and Paul stayed busy again this month, doing some inspections. I kind of wanted to draw your attention to our Ozark Mountain Poultry. We sent in a notice of violation, which is a more significant notice than what we have in the past. They have responded to that. They have submitted plans to the city now for their upgrade work. And so that is in the process of going through that system now. So my inclination is to let that process work through as opposed to applying more pressure for somebody who's trying to comply. Again, I'd be happy to hear input, but that's my inclination. Let's see.
Todd, just I think you've heard our input from previous meetings and kind of know for the most part what you've done is you've stepped it up.
Right.
We've put them on notice, and so the fact that they're taking action, I think before what we heard is that they hadn't taken action.
They had not.
So well, it's kind of out there. So I think the theme here would be we wanted to make sure that we don't have additional costs that we're not basically recouping.
Right.
That we're basically taking on their responsibility. So I yield to you to manage that. And if you think we need to take it to a different level, that's I would just ask that you bring it back to us and we would take action, grant whatever you want. But I think what you've done is pretty well communicate what we had said. Hey, are we doing your job? Or are you doing your jobs?
They
Ozark Mountain Poultry, so.
Yes, sir.
Fair commission.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. That's true. And we've relayed that, and they were trying beforehand. I think our communication with them just kind of moved that forward. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. That's what we'd ask. Fairly
slow month for significant events. We did advertise for polymer vendors. It's that time of year, or that time again, where our existing contract has run its course, and we have to get new bids. I think we'll probably save some money on this because of our last one running through the COVID timeframe. We had some higher prices. It won't be a lot, but it should save us a little bit. Let's see. We're still with all the rain. You'll see that, and we had 7.5 inches of rain in November, so there was no good time to close down our diversion box for some maintenance. So So we're still looking to be able to do that. We feel like it's just something that's gotten collected on the stem that won't let it move up and down. But just for safety reasons, we've got to shut that down to be able to verify that and look at it because of the location of that gate. But that's really all we had from the pollution control facility, unless you guys have more questions for us.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Next item is operations report.
So,
water. Want to do it a little different. We're going to work in City Works. So, we will look at a few things, and if hopefully you'll get to see what a good job our guys are doing. If you've been following a lot of the newspapers and the articles and stuff of the water leaks and stuff that the other utilities are having in our area and where their water loss and stuff is. As we go through here, you'll get to see where we're at with our work progress and everything that our field guys have been doing and where we're at. As Jared said a while ago, we're at 8% water loss. It was announced, you know, and I can say this because it's in the news. I'm not going to pick on a city. You know, Bentonville's at over half, you know, with their water loss in their utility and stuff. So, and everything. So, we track our, for the year, we have been tracking, and David and Adam, David is our City Works coordinator here, and David has done a great job of coming in and helping build the power, build these, and work with our supervisors and stuff to get all this information brought in put into these for us. But you can see here that right now we have no active water main breaks. And even if we'd had one today, this would be populated because we're looking at this live. You know, if it was in, we're looking at this as if it was live. We've had 68 non-billed water main breaks for the past 12 months, and we've billed out 4. Then actual water service line leaks, we've got 0. Past 12 months, 58, and we billed out 3. We have 2 additional water breaks right now, and that could be from water fire hydrants or just something that's out of the ordinary that don't fit the bill for the other 2. We have 23 additional water breaks that we did not bill for and 2 that we have. We currently have 9 new water services that we need to put in. We've put in 66 water services this year. So again, you can see that our active breaks and stuff that our guys, we get out, we get them fixed and everything. That's what helps us account for our unaccounted for water. We don't have these breaks out here hanging over us and everything else. We're getting them repaired in a timely fashion and everything in a quick manner. And we're progressively fixing the breaks as they're there. We get asked all the time. I get asked all the time by other cities, well, how many breaks do you have? 0. No, really, how many do you have? 0. And everything. So. So this is, again, how well the guys are doing their job and how they approach it, you know, and how they take care of their business every day. So,
Charlie, 2 questions. So back to David. So this, what we're seeing here, this dashboard, is that what he's built the dashboard for you all to pull up each day to see that? Or is it gathering the data, putting it in this format? Because obviously the dashboard, it's, like you said, it's live. That was the first question. And the second question is, the mains that are broke, the breaks that are not billed. Give you a little insight on those. All right.
So David is our City Works coordinator. So basically when we started City Works, David had come to us and he said, hey, I want to learn more about City Works. So David championed our City Works program. He really bought into it, and he started asking all the right questions, I guess, of Timmons, which is our people that's integrating it and everything. And so as David progressed, he learned, really dove in and learned City Works really, really well. So he's taken on all of City Works, just not for us, for the plant. He did see up the plant along. He's helped engineering along. So he's helped build all of these things. And now all of my field supervisors, they can build their own dashboards. You know, one of my younger supervisors built their Brandon. He could build them right from the very start, you know. But he's a young kid, you know. I think he came out of high school building a little bit. He did it so easy, made it look so easy. But that's what David does for us. And David does a lot more. He takes all the information. He go pull the information. He does the crystal reports for us. He does. I can't explain all that David does because sometimes it amazes me what he does. You know, if we ask for something, you know, I can say, hey, David, can you make this happen, and I hand it to him, and he'll go, let me check, and he'll either come back and say, yes, I can, or no, I can't.
I'm just seeing the visual. I mean, to me, you've got, I think the dashboards are good, because you can manage this. If you need to go deeper, you can go deeper. To be able to see that dashboard, seeing this, it's live, you know, that's got to be a really good way to manage the business. So, congratulations. Yeah.
And he built the dashboard, he brought it to me, and I said, hey, can you make it do this? And he says, yep. And we took it to Brent, and Brent's like, well, I want to see this. And so David went and made it see that. And you know, so we can, like I said, he can go pull that information. As long as that information's out there, we can pull it in and everything. So,
Terry, to be clear, sorry. Yeah. This is all populated from the work orders and the tablets. Back in and pull, this is all auto. As soon as there's a work order and it's done, it goes to a particular dashboard automatically.
Yeah.
That was really kind of, I just didn't know how deep you had to go into this. If it's something that's in the application, you can go.
After he builds it, it just goes and pulls it from all of our work orders and does all of that. That's what I meant when I'm saying it's live. If there was he's over the leak locators, so if the leak locator went out and found a leak, he created a work order, then it would populate right here automatically showing us there was a leak there. So
thank you, John.
Yeah. And then on the non-bill water breaks, that's like ones that's just caused by nature or whatever, it's going to happen. And then the billed ones are ones that contractors would get
That's what I was assuming, but I just wanted to make sure that I understood.
There's only been four.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Well, that's our board program that we have. The bore permit program that we have is impressive, you know, and everything that we have there. So,
how does that compare to other cities? can you figure that? That seems pretty low.
We can infer a lot from just your laugh.
Let me just ask: is it better than Bentonville?
It's better than a lot of areas.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive.
It's just not the board companies, you know, it's contractors, it's everybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, our numbers are better, you know, just because we take it serious. You know, we've talked about it in here before. We take it serious. We have one gentleman that's what he does. He takes care of the board permits. He takes care of that. David's actually going to hopefully do a presentation on it down at the Hot Springs Conference, and everything, and then we'll be doing one in Dallas at the national one in September, they see the importance of it. Just wrote an article for the magazine. And everything. So again, for us, our numbers match up beyond what everybody else's match up nationwide. So
Good job.
I'm not you though, Travis. I think every corner there's someone digging.
Yeah.
A lot of digging going on in Rogers. You only have service lines and breaks. That's well done. So congratulations, Johnny, for your operation.
And then our sewer guys, again, they're doing the same due diligence. And again, these are completed work orders, as was on the other ones over there, for all the completed work orders, as Brent was saying. I should have covered that a while ago. Thank you, Brent, for catching me there. But these are like where the guys would go out and complete the work orders, and this is where this information is pulled from. And you can see here our flushing work orders, and that's where we're going in after hours or during the day that we're going out and flushing and cleaning lines and everything. Number of possible stoppages, that could either be, we're going out and investigating a possible stoppage, or we do have a stoppage on our side. And then 35 private line problems, 8 overflows. For a year for us to only have 8 overflows, that's another great number compared to other cities. And we have 51 CCTV work orders that have been completed. So in total, our total footage cleaned and camered is about 995,871 feet for the year. And that's including our SL rats, which we, those are where we put those down. They send a sonic signal back and forth to tell us if the lines need to be flushed, or we need to run a flush truck out to clean the lines, or if they're clean enough that we can go on to the next one and not have to worry about cleaning them and everything. So.
But just explain that. All I heard was the rat part.
So, Johnny, on the overflows, do you think any of that was helped by it being a dry year, or have we just...
I'd say it was, it hurt us, because the roots were looking for food and water, so... because we had more, seemed to have more of the overflow root problems this year than we have in the past and everything. And we just didn't get to those fast enough to have, get them cut out or knocked out. Because they weren't our normal areas that we would have the root problem. And, we just hit our other root log area on a routine basis, and these were outside of a root log. And was that aspect that they were looking for food, so any place they could get into the line, that's where they were getting. So I think the dry hurt us a little bit more than it.
Okay.
So. Thank you. And then, like I said, the leak detection, here, we found 60 leaks so far this year. Our loggers just found the 9, our sensors 6, and that's if we get them put in, our loggers found, and everything and stuff. So again, our guys are out there finding, our leak loggers are finding the leaks. We're finding all these leaks and everything. Our sensors are finding them. So we're on top of that. That's where we're getting that 8% of the county's flow water. And then these are our bores that we were talking about, our bore permits. There's about 3 pages of bores right now that's going on in the city of Rogers. These are just the active bores right now for this month. Like I said, there's 3 pages of those bores that's happening right now. So for us to only have the 4 hits and everything, that's really good. So any questions?
Where are those bore permits open for so long?
We have to go back and inspect them and everything, and sometimes they're not set in the pedestals, so we won't release them until the cleanup's been done. So if the pedestal's not set, we don't consider the cleanup done until the pedestal's set and all the topsoil and everything's been done.
Very good.
Okay, that will conclude the report section of our agenda. No old business, so we will move on into new business. First item under new business is the RW audit report, and we have Mr. Hoyt here with Landmark CPAs.
Hey, welcome. I'm Eric.
Howdy.
We just wrapped up the audit for some conversations right now. There's two separate audit reports. I'm not going to go through it page by page because there's y'all have a lot to do and you've seen the numbers. So if there's anything specific you want me to talk about, it's fine. But on the two audit reports, we gave clean opinions on both in terms of their financials being correctly stated. And on the last page of these reports, page 48 on one and 49 on the other, we report on internal controls. Everything's good there, so no issues. We had sewer issue on this year. That was only kind of one little tricky thing we had. It just looked at more compliance issues, anything like that. But for the most part, everything's going pretty well. Jared and his team did a good job organizing the votes, audit went smoothly. So, do y'all have any questions?
Well, I would just tell you, I need a little time to process. We got these Friday, and again, there's a lot of information in there. But yes. Again, we've got it. It looked like it was a clean report.
Yeah, and they've got my contact information.
Right.
If there's any questions, I'm happy to.
Okay. Well, as far as commission action tonight, what we need to do tonight, I would entertain a motion to accept the reports. Robert is at both reports.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, the language we used in the past is to approve and accept the audit reports.
I would entertain a motion to approve and accept the audit reports. That would be both reports from the board and the sewer, so it would be reports for them.
I make a motion that we approve and accept the audit presentations as.
I'll second.
Motion 2 seconds. Travis may have gotten under the wire, so we'll have motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you for your patience. Send the operations report. Next item, we have resolution 24-31, a resolution approving the purchase of office furniture, authorizing expenditure funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes.
Yes. Good afternoon. This is kind of an oversight of mine. We budgeted people and frankly, we didn't have the physical locations. So this is to fill that gap. And I think if you saw the pictures and everything, what we tried to do, just a quick overview, is stay with the same, that's why we're waiving competitive bidding. We want to stay with the same cubicle manufacturer that can do all this so that if and when we either build out here or somewhere else or wherever that is, we have everything that can move with us and be as flexible as possible. But this is, it is a purchase off the state bid for Hayworth office furniture in the amount of $47,941.89. So that exceeds the $35,000. Bring that to commission, but staff recommends approval.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion second.
Second.
Other thing I would just say, we had the $47,941, but it's also plus shipping. Any additional taxes or any services, so charges, so just, it gives you that flexibility. So the hard stop at the 47. Motion second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 2431 is approved. So, next item is 2432. That is a resolution approving the cost of living adjustment for employee salaries and wages for the calendar year 2025.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Sorry, Dan.
This is too nice.
I wasn't courteous.
Resolution number 2432, resolution approving a cost of living adjustment, COLA, for employee salaries and wages and for other purposes. So as noted in the second paragraph, the increase that was approved would either be the 3% or an annual increase of 1,872, whichever is greater. This mirrors what the city is doing for their COLA raises, and we do try and mirror what they do. The advantage to taking this approach, it does help boost our newer employees a little bit higher on the wage scale. Typically, if they have 5 years or less, they're going to move up that scale at a slower rate, and this would help them a little bit, which was the city's intent.
We certainly have no problem with that.
Motion to approve.
Any motion?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve resolution 24-32, the cost of living increase. Say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is 24-33, and that is a resolution designated electronic bidding service vendor and website for public works projects for calendar year 2025. There's a presentation for authorizing additional vendor website. So 24-33.
Yes, thank you. Resolution 24-33. Staff recommends that we continue to use central bidding as the designated electronic bidding service vendor for our WBU. We've been using this for at least since COVID now, and it gets our projects out there, and for anybody who's out of town, it gives them an opportunity to submit their bids electronically. The service is free for us. It does charge the vendor if they want to submit a bid electronically. They can still download, view the bid information at no cost. You'll notice on section 4, it mentions OpenGov. That's a different service that the city has gone to. We're kind of filling that out and just seeing how that's going to work for them. See if we want to attempt. Try to go with that bid service, and there is a substantial fee to use that service. So we're gonna stick with central bidding for now and see how the system works out. But if we did want to make that change, we would come back to the commission on that.
What does it cost the person who's wanting to submit?
I believe it's $100 per bid.
There's two different ways they can do it. They can do it on a per basis, and I think it's $100 or so. And then they can also subscribe to central bidding, and then they just have a monthly fee, and they get all the notifications, all that kind of stuff. And they'll limit on how many plans they can bid on.
Have you seen any change in the number of bids you're receiving using this?
It's gotten better this year for sure. We've gotten a better bid response. Most of those bids still come in hard copy. I'd say probably one out of five bids that we receive come through the electronic bidding platform. Most of our contractors are local, but some of the out-of-state guys do submit electronic bids. So I think it does widen our reach a little bit. We think it's beneficial to have some type of electronic bidding platform.
What's the selling point on the one that the city's using?
Well,
I like this price better.
They claim they have a wider reach. The platform is easier to use. It's very aesthetically, it's easy. It's free for them to use.
Okay.
Have them submit online. However, we got a quote it was about $25,000 a year. For us to use that, and at this point, I'm just not convinced that we would see that much benefit out of it. But a couple of large projects, if we got more exposure and got some more bidders, got some low bids, it could pay for itself with one project. So it's hard for me to say that it would save us money. But we're going to look at that and see what the city says after using it.
Why was it free for the city and not for us?
No, I'm sorry. It is free for the bidders to submit.
Okay.
They're paying for it.
Okay.
By the way, I read this to make sure it's clear that we're giving in this resolution that you have the we would be authorizing the additional vendor, which would be the OpenGov. So you would have, if you chose to do that, you would have the authority to do that. I think am I reading that right? You mentioned that if we decide to go the direction, you just come back. So I want to make sure that doesn't appear that you'd be required to do that if you choose to go that direction.
I believe we'd be required to come back to the commission.
For clarity, I just, the way I read, I didn't know if that was the additional vendor was the OpenGov
so.
The way this is written, Rogers Water Utilities will have the option to use OpenGov. I have a legal hurdle to OpenGov, which I can't find in the Office of State Procurement proof list yet. I'm sure they're fine. But I need to verify that before we would use it. In terms of, I think what Brian's talking about is, in terms of appropriations to pay OpenGov,
okay.
That would be something. I don't think there's an appropriation to pay OpenGov right now. So.
We didn't budget.
I think it would be part of the next, I think what it anticipated is that as part of the next year's fiscal budget,
okay.
We come back and ask for money to approve OpenGov. But this resolution, as drafted, will allow Rogers Water Utilities to use.
Okay, thank you. That's the best way. Just want to make sure.
Ignorant question here. Why do we have to do this? I mean, dollar amount wise. Why do we have to? What's the rule for needing to approve the bidding?
The designation.
Yeah, I mean you can. Is there a limit to just using one? I mean,
there's a statute that allows cities to do this. The statute says you have to use one that's approved by the Office of State Procurement. Central bidding is definitely approved by the Office of State Procurement. Their contract runs with the state of Arkansas, I think September 2025. But to use these services, you've got to pass a resolution designating them.
Very good. I'd make a motion to approve resolution number 2433.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution 2433 is approved.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the red flag report, Jared, the Rogers Water Utilities Identity Theft Prevention Program.
Well, in 2009, the commission established our identity theft prevention program, and that was to be in compliance with FTC regulations. The FTC has this red flag rule that basically says we have a responsibility to prevent and mitigate identity theft as it relates to our customer accounts. So every year we give you an annual report to update you on that. See at the top here the required contents of this annual report to include first a report on the effectiveness of the policies and procedures. And this paragraph here regarding item A, the policies and procedures for opening, transferring, and closing accounts appear to be adequate. However, we note there was one incident involving possible identity theft, which we describe in a little bit more detail here under item C. Item C is a report on any incidents of identity theft or suspected identity theft involving utility accounts and our initial response. So we did have one incident here of reported identity theft by a customer who alleged that her former roommate impersonated her. So the situation here was that we had a customer arrange for a disconnect, which we set up, and then the next day she called back and said, "Never mind." Well, as is our policy, we verify the caller's identity by checking her birth date and the last four of her social, and those checked out. This caller had that information. And so we let the service continue, only later to hear from the customer later on who said, "Hey, why am I getting these charges for this usage? We disconnected it." In this case, we followed our procedure, we followed our policy. There was just one instance. This was a situation where the caller had that information, and I would not recommend any changes to our policies or procedures just based on this one instance. I think normally it would be effective in preventing this from happening, but that was our experience earlier this year, and we wanted to know that under this reporting item. Any questions about that one in particular?
It's good batting average.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have another item to report. This is under item B, a report on software, credit card process, and service provider arrangements. So you see PCI compliance here. PCI compliance refers to the payment card industry data security standard, which is a set of requirements organizations must meet to ensure the security of credit card data. Our third party payment processor, Chase Payments, that handles the security of those credit card payments when we accept those things, whether through the website or through the IVR telephone system. PII compliance is personally identifiable information, and the utility does have a responsibility and obligation to safeguard the sensitive customer information that we collect. And there's one event that was relevant to that. This was back in June or July. We identified a vulnerability with our Online Connect service request software. So we're talking about situations where new customers go onto our website and they fill out an online form saying, hey, I want new service with you guys, and they upload two forms of identification. We found on a publicly accessible search website some of those documents for 23 customers. We're fortunate that it was only 23 customers, given the number of customers that we have. So we immediately reached out to our website provider and said, hey, what's up? Can you help make this go away? And they found that a folder of files that should have been blocked from being publicly accessible had become publicly accessible. And so we worked with them to hide that folder, delete those files, and then also work with the search engine provider to remove the cached images that were still available even after those files had been blocked. So it was sort of a two-step process there. As soon as we were comfortable that all those images had been deleted from public view, we sent notifications to those 23 customers, advising them what had happened and offering to pay for a year's identity theft protection services through Norton LifeLock. I never heard back from any of those. We provided, of course, our contact information to reach out to us if they had any follow-up questions. We didn't hear anything. But that's not ideal, right? And in addition to the steps that I've already described, we also switched our software, the way that we handle those things. So instead of going through our website provider, now we switched it over to Tyler Technologies, which is our financial accounting and our billing software, with the expectation, I think, that they've got a little bit more robust system in place for helping to ensure that this type of thing doesn't happen again. Any questions on that? The last two items here are just a report on changes or proposed changes in the methods of identifying and preventing identity theft, and then just generally recommendations for changes or modifications to our program. And beyond just the switch previously described for switching how we accept those Online Connect service requests, we don't have any other proposals at this time. That's our report for the last year.
Yeah, this gets resentful, but you have to think about how in the world did we find 23, found that we had 23 that you had a data breach, because I think we've all become numb, because you know, you hear AT&T and it's millions of people and all your information has been. So the fact that part of you figured this out, that you got 23 and you took the steps that you took to mitigate that. That's huge. I mean,
we got a tip from somebody. I forget exactly the origin, but it was a good actor who gave us a heads up that they were able to see that information out there.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
But we hear almost daily that data has been breached, and it's typically in the millions. You don't really know what got out there, and then until you're actually impacted. So, yeah, so
well, to well, us, it felt like a million people knew.
But well done, though, the fact that that's good work. So at this time, I think that, well.
Mr. Chairman, the typical action of the commission is to entertain a motion to accept the report.
Okay. I make a motion to accept the report.
Motion. Second. For the discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Report is accepted. Thank you. Well done, IT. Speaking of IT, some old equipment.
Resolution
2434
is
dispose of some obsolete
IT equipment. Per Schedule A.
Yes.
Good afternoon, and we're doing some end of year cleanup.
We have a moderate list, some devices. Really, the only thing of note, I think, is the APC battery unit, which got damaged by a lightning strike. So it's the only thing on the list that actually had any net value left on it. And it's about $170 left on that device. Everything else is good to go. It's completely depreciated. And the PBX phones, I kind of want to point out, that was a project to remove the old phone system out of the pollution control. So now we got the voice over IP coming from the city going over to those guys, which is, it helps out a lot. So,
yeah, we're just seeking authorization to dispose of this obsolete equipment.
Make a motion to authorize and accept.
Okay. Second motion.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of passing resolution 24-34? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 24. Next item is 24-35, and this is to purchase a vehicle.
Yes, this resolution will authorize us to purchase a Nissan Frontier pickup. We budgeted $35,000 for a vehicle this year, and the budget is stated it would be a Ford Maverick. We bought a Ford Maverick, I think, early last year. And didn't quite suit the needs of the inspectors. It has a 4.5-foot bed on it, and the wrenches we use to turn the valves are usually about 5 or 5.5 feet. We had to buy a special little Mickey Mouse valve wrench that didn't quite do the job in the field. I think they bottomed out on a couple of sites. It's still a very useful vehicle. The Maverick's a crew cab. It's great for a survey truck. We use it all the time. But to replace our 2012 Silverado, we want something with a little bit longer bed, a little bit more ground clearance, and this vehicle suits the bill while still staying within our budgeted allowance.
All right, you have the recommendation.
Yeah. You're not going with the manual.
Correct.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve resolution 2435.
Second.
Motion, second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries to approve resolution 2435. And with that, I think that concludes all new business we have.
If I may, I'd like to introduce our newest employee. And in keeping with our J-Tran, Jennifer Hoffman.
Welcome, Jennifer.
Jennifer, welcome.
We've got some big shoes to fill with Dana. We can't wait for her this is her first day, so she'll be working with Dana quite closely, trying to get some of that magic that he does and refer to Jennifer here.
Well, welcome.
Welcome.
Very warm welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Well, I don't see we've got all items covered, and at this time I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
We make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. See you back in 2029.